Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Amish life is more than just plain dress, a Germanic dialect, and an aversion to modern technology. It's also an insular faith which demands that adherents live, worship, and marry within the community. Those strict expectations, along with a troubled home life, were too much for one Ohio Amish woman. Saloma Miller Furlong was 20 years old in the 1970s when she first ran away from her Amish community in Ohio and sought refuge in Burlington, Vermont. It's a story that she tells in her new memoir, Bonnet Strings, An Amish Woman's Ties to Two Worlds. Saloma Miller Furlong shared her experience with VPR's Patty Daniels.
Your book begins with reflections on the tension you felt between the importance of Amish community cohesion and your own desire for individual freedom. What do you mean when you say that you and Amish culture were a mismatch from the start?
Well, in order to be a good Amish person, it's basically measured by how well you fit into the group. Because in the Amish culture, community is the most important. It's not the family and it's not the individual, it's the community. So for me, I could not, no matter how hard I tried, I could not tamp down the questions that just kept boiling right up from within me. And my mother used to say to me, "Oh, Saloma, if you only knew how much better off you are without asking those questions, maybe you'd stop asking them."
What kinds of questions were you asking?
Things like, why can't we have bicycles, but we can ride in somebody else's car? Why can't we have a Christmas tree like the Sikoras across the street? Why can't we take pictures in school? And then later on, as I got older, I would ask things like, if God really doesn't want people to ask questions, then why did he give me such an inquisitive nature? And those were just questions that the Amish could not or would not answer. And so having that curious, feisty, adventurous spirit that I had from the start just did not fit into a community where the women and the girls are expected to be demure and quiet and submissive.
So in 1978, when you are 20 years old, you do decide to leave in secret with the help of a neighbor. And Vermont is your destination. Why Vermont?
Well, because when I was in seventh grade, I fell in love with New England and certainly Vermont. I did indeed subscribe to Vermont Life magazine. And they were literally my lifeline because I would put myself into those pictures. And I had escaped to Vermont in my mind long before I actually did it.
The Chamber of Commerce would be thrilled to know that.
It was actually the Chamber of Commerce I called. When I was looking for a place to stay, I called the Vermont Chamber of Commerce and asked where in the state I could find a residential YWCA. The only one in the state of Vermont was in Burlington. So that's how I ended up in Burlington.
And when you get there, you change your name to Linda, and pretty quickly you form a lot of friendships that you feel like you never had in Burton, Ohio. What was that like for you?
It was amazing. It was as if I was becoming the person I was meant to be. And especially when I met David, it's like the little romance we had going was really amazing. We dined in the restaurants and we danced in the bars and all of those things. And then we also liked to go out and drive into the country and just talk for hours.
And it won't be a spoiler alert because we know your last name. You do eventually marry David, but it is quite a long road to get
yes,
to that point.
Is. I know.
While you're building this new life in Burlington, you are pretty preoccupied with the idea of whether you'll actually go back and resume your Amish life. What were you torn with then?
Well, it's basically impossible to replace the community we loved. And so we have to choose between family and community and freedom. That's a pretty tough choice. You know, there's also the faith community that you lose. And there is a really deep and abiding faith that the Amish live out. It's a quiet faith. It's one that's a lived faith. And leaving that belonging and tradition and community behind was hard.
And partly it was hard because you are receiving letters and phone calls from
yes.
your community in Ohio, insisting, begging, cajoling, guilting you into
yeah.
trying to come back.
Yes. Yeah, the guilt is one of the things that is the more punitive parts of their culture and religion. And yes, that also played on my psyche as well. It wasn't just the longing for community, but it was also the constant reminder that you promised on bended knee that you will stay with the Amish culture the rest of your life, and here you are breaking your promise. So there was that too.
So for about 4 months in the winter of 77 and 78, you are in Burlington trying to establish this new life, having all of these difficult thoughts about what you've left behind. And then totally unexpectedly, your brother and sister show up with a van full of powerful members of your church, and they insist that you come home with them. And they had actually tried once before to do this, but you hid.
Mm-hmm.
This time, it seems like you agree pretty easily that you're going to go back home to Ohio.
Well, with the bishop and his wife in the van, my uncle, who had a lot of sway in the community, my older brother, who was used to forcing us sisters to do whatever he thought was right, I did not want to find out if they would stuff me into the van physically.
Hmm.
The thing is, from the moment that I saw my sister's dress outside, I felt like I was a puppet on a string. It felt like I had no choice. And then when I found out who was in the van, I just completely gave up. It was as if they had brought the community to my Vermont world, and I had to choose.
When you got back to Ohio, how were you regarded by the community?
Very cautiously. I think there was a lot of curiosity about what I had experienced, but very few people expressed that. On the one hand, people seemed to kind of tiptoe around me and not want to upset me. And on the other hand, I was being criticized publicly.
And while that's going on publicly in your community, you're kind of maintaining this personal, private relationship with your friends in Vermont through letters.
Yes.
And in particular, you write a lot of letters with your friend Barbara LaLancet, and also on and off with David.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about what that letter writing connection meant to you.
With Barbara, it was absolutely my lifeline, because Barbara was a very astute friend. She understood sort of what was going on with me internally. And I wrote a lot of things to her that I didn't even write into my journal at the time, because I knew my journal could be found and read. Once that letter was off to Barbara, it was in safe hands. And so there were times when I would just literally pour my heart out to Barbara. And getting letters back from her was absolutely what I lived for at the time, because it gave me that link to my Vermont world and freedom.
Barbara wasn't the only one writing
yes,
to you.
I know.
David was persistent.
Yes, and, he was.
And what you and David both talk about and sort of diagnose later on is that you were really fighting yourself to put on a show of, I am going to be Amish.
Yes.
And I am going to make this work.
I am going to make myself Amish. That is the attitude I had. And I was really getting a lot of pressure from the Amish, especially after David's first visit, which was a friendly visit. And he had asked for a hug and a kiss that day, and I'd only allowed him a handshake. And then I wasn't so sure that I could stay just friends with David. And then when he was pushing on one end and the Amish were pushing on the other end, I was trying to figure out where I fit in all of this.
David gently reappears in your life, again through letters, and by Christmas 1979, 2 years after you first met, you realize that you do want to be with him.
Right.
What is that realization like for you after all that fight?
Yes. Well, you know what it was? It was partly the card he sent me. And on the inside of the card, the message started out, "All living things respond to the warmth of love." And I remember just about melting. He had also sent me a Vermont Life calendar with gorgeous pictures of Vermont. He knew exactly how to bring the nostalgia on for Vermont. And I was thinking to myself, if he was here with me now, I would give him that hug and I would never let him go. And it was that moment that I said, God, if David and I are meant to be together, then please help me find my way back to him. And that was my moment of when my mind started changing, because the longing to be with him outweighed my desire to make it in my Amish community.
And it does take several months of sort of rebuilding that relationship with him before this seems like an opportunity that you actually might be leaving. It's almost like you're privately preparing yourself for that possibility again.
Yes.
And then you do visit David in Vermont in the fall of 1980. What clarity did that trip bring to you?
That was really the week that David and I realized either he had to join the Amish or I had to leave. And he was actually willing to join the Amish. And I remember breaking down in tears and saying, what I want is to be where people understand me. And I felt at that moment a clarity that I hadn't felt before. Yes, the Amish have that sense of community and belonging, but there's a different kind of belonging that comes with being where people do understand you.
You and David make plans that you are going to leave Ohio for good. Mm-hmm. And you go back to say goodbyes to your family and to sort of pack up your life. And while you're home in Ohio, you have some really intense conversations with your sisters about salvation and what it means that you're leaving the church. What were they worried about for you?
As we are growing up, from the time we can understand the concept, we're taught that because God had us be born Amish, he wanted us to stay Amish, and if we left, then all hope of our salvation would be lost. And I was calling that belief into question. I did not believe that that was the case, and my sisters still were afraid of that. For all people who leave the Amish, they have to come to terms with that part of the Amish belief system. And my sisters were not there yet.
Your new memoir that we've been discussing really is a laser focus on those 2 to 3 years of your life where you're making this decision between being Amish and not being Amish, between being in Ohio and being in Vermont. Part of your struggle is that the elders in your church had told you you either are or aren't Amish, and you were really fighting to try to find a way to be both.
Right.
How did your spiritual journey evolve after leaving the church? Were you able to answer that question for yourself?
You know, at first I felt like, well, you know, they're wrong, because there's always a part of me that will be Amish, but I don't have to put up with the restrictions of Amish life. But then, somewhere along the line, I realized, you know what? The Amish are right. You cannot have it both ways. When we make choices in life, sometimes there are other choices that are not available to us anymore. And when we leave the Amish, we are leaving a community and a way of life that we cannot replace in the mainstream culture. And so I think that the Amish are actually right. You really cannot have it both ways.
Saloma Miller Furlong, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Patty. It has been a great pleasure.
That's writer Saloma Miller Furlong speaking with Vermont Edition's managing producer, Patty Daniels. Furlong's new memoir is called Bonnet Strings, An Amish Woman's Ties to Two Worlds.